We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's Thursday, February 16th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart New, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We're doing another episode this week. We were up in the air, but we're back. It's me. It's Matt. We're going to recap our year of wagering, our props that we did the entire month of August heading into the NFL season. We will recap those. But first, I've watched the film now. I feel so smart saying that. I've watched the film of the Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs, and we'll break down just some of my final thoughts on that. We have a full coaching hiring slate now, and then one coach who, for some reason, can't get a job. I do not know why. We have some quarterback movement. Derek Carr is on the loose now. Aaron Rodgers is on Pat McAfee, creating attention for himself as usual. And we'll get into some more NFL topics. Matt Ford, how was your Super Bowl Sunday, sir?
It was good. I can't imagine it was quite as good as yours as a Chiefs fan. But I had a really nice time. I made a pretty big bet by my standards on the Chiefs and felt very good about that.
You did?
That
nice.
Cashed. I did. Yeah. I made one pregame and then one live. It was up to 6.5 when Rihanna was doing her thing. And I was like, 6.5. It doesn't feel like this is going to be an Eagles blowout. So I had a nice day.
Good for you. You never go wrong betting on Pat Mahomes. And so that's the way I feel.
No.
About that. I feel good being in that spot I was in. How are your props?
They were mixed. There were a few I really liked. The opening kick was unfortunately a touchback.
Because Butker mishit the ball.
I know. He almost fell over with that stupid field. And that it's when it left his foot, I was like, we're great. This thing is a little like line drive. It was like it looked like a base hit to shallow right center or something, but it bounced and they had no interest in running it back, obviously. There were a few, I feel like I did okay. I probably broke even on my props. Did you?
Yeah, I called certain things to happen. Like I said, Noah Gray would catch a screen and it would go for over 12.5 yards. He did catch a screen, but went for 6 yards. Like little things like that, like didn't really hit exactly. Like Pacheco, I thought he would catch a screen. It went to Jerry McKinnon. There's little things like that kind of did not break, but the game generally went as kind of the script I thought it would. You know, I didn't see the Jalen Hurts fumble coming. That was obviously, you know, little off script to kind of change the game, right?
Really
take that
good.
Out, obviously, and the Chiefs don't win that game. My overriding point of watching this game back, Matt, was that, you know, we often want to assign this thing was good, this thing was bad, right? Mm-hmm. We want to say that. This team good, this team bad. This player good, this player bad. And I look at this game and I think to myself, Eagles offense was really good. Jalen Hurts was fabulous. Like if you're on the fence about paying Jalen Hurts, after this game, you shouldn't be. I mean, he was fabulous, guys. Like in the biggest game of his career, he came up the biggest he's ever been. He made some great throws. He made some great runs. He saved them when they had no answer sometimes for pressure. He was fabulous. Eagles offensive line, I thought, played really well. I thought the Chiefs did a, we'll get the Chiefs defense in a second. Eagles offensive line pass protected well. You know, A.J. Brown was good. Yeah. Dallas Goedert was great. And then with the Chiefs defense, they gave him 35 points. But I didn't come away thinking they played bad. They forced 18 third downs. 18 third downs and 3 fourth downs. One of the fourth downs never got run because of the offsides on Saunders or someone in the middle there. That push sneak is nearly impossible to stop. So you get in those third and short, fourth and shorts, and you're just, and nothing was easy for the Eagles. Even the touchdown to A.J. Brown, double coverage, right? The easiest play of the game was the Devontae Smith long grab when I think it was Snead ended up getting kind of caught between two verticals there. Even the fourth down run by Hurts, I mean, he had to make a guy miss. And the Chiefs' run defense was really, really good. Their job, they suffocated the Eagles' rushing attack. I thought they did a really good job. They were very physical up front. You know, Lane Johnson's leg injury, I think the Chiefs did a good job of using it against him in the run game. The little subtle things they did here and there to kind of force some weakness when they ran the ball to the right. Nick Bolton, Willie Gay played well. It was the best version of the Chiefs. And they gave up 35 points, man. When you watch the Eagles offense and Chiefs defense, I thought it was like two teams playing their best ball going back and forth.
I agree. It felt like that on the other side too. Like, I didn't feel like the Eagles defense really played poorly. They, in the second half, they obviously gave up a touchdown, I think, every possession, or score every possession.
I think the hard part for the Eagles defense is that there was a concept that kept working for the Chiefs and the Eagles did not adjust. And that, I think, is the hard part, right? So you look at the Chiefs offense, obviously the first half, it wasn't that they didn't score. They didn't have the ball.
Yeah.
They didn't have the ball with that fumble recovery that ended up giving the Eagles the ball for 10 minutes straight in the second quarter at one point, right? Or end of first quarter, second quarter. In the second half, the Chiefs obviously found that motion to stack, right? Or kind of start to motion across. Eagles are trying to either flip the safeties in zone coverage or find a way to bump over man coverage and boop. Corn dog, we're coming back the other direction and we're going to get open. I think if you're an Eagles fan, you're upset that there was no adjustment made to that. The thing about the Eagles this year, there were tendencies about them that when things go well, it's really easy. So for example, second and long, always pass the ball. Second, like seven and plus, they're passing every single time. Chiefs knew that and they played those situations pretty well. Eagles defense, man, they're running what they run. Like, they're not deviating from that. They don't bring linebacker pressure. I know technically Hassan Riddick is a linebacker, but like, really, he's not. I hate how we classify that. They don't bring slot pressure. They don't bring corner pressure. They don't bring line. Like, they are what they are. But when you're winning, in as long as games Eagles were winning, that pass rush is just let loose. It doesn't matter, right? But when you're not, and the Chiefs are kind of methodically going down the field, well, now your pass rush isn't as good. The Eagles pass rush was good on third and long. The Chiefs only had eight all game, and like three of them were long. Otherwise, it was short. The Chiefs won first and second down. And so both teams kind of had their game plan. And in the end, obviously, the penalty happens. And look, it was a penalty, call or don't call it, whatever. It kind of ruined the flow at the end of the game. I would love to see, you know, the Eagles have an opportunity to come back down and make that. I felt like it was a very well-played football game. And we got the two best teams playing, Matt. And we got just some great individual performances, some great team performances. And it was a really good Super Bowl.
It really was. It was a great game. I think people were upset with the penalty more because the game ended in an unsatisfactory way more than the call. That was sort of how I felt. I'm sure you, even as a guy rooting for the Chiefs, I was just sort of like, that sucks. That's how this game's going to end. Like, that sucks. But, you know, I don't think it was a bad call.
You felt this hype building up. Building. And it's like, we all knew. Everyone knew. The Chiefs, if they got a first down there, that was the end of the game.
Yeah, that was it.
And we knew that, and that's what ended up happening, was the Chiefs got a first down there, end of the game. This back and forth.
Would have been interesting if Hurts had to drive.
Yeah, it would have been a lot of fun. This back and forth between Juju and A.J. Brown on Twitter. I mean, there's been so many things that have been spawning out of it.
It's great.
I have thoroughly enjoyed the Jason and Travis Kelce content. Their mom is, like, it's been just been so good, man. Like, it's been so great. I really have appreciated the way Philly players and coaches have talked about this game, right? No excuses.
Yeah.
Not blaming the officials.
100%.
The turf was terrible. Not blaming the turf. Not blaming anyone, right? Like, I talk about this all the time, guys, right? I don't blame officials when I talk about football. I don't blame turf. I don't blame outside conditions. It's like, what can we do better? And I love it. I love the attitude from Philly about, hey, what can we have done better to win this game? And that attitude, man, that's a winner's, in my opinion, that's a winner's attitude. They might not have won this game, but they've won me over as someone who might root for the Eagles now moving forward because of the way they handled themselves in defeat.
Well, that makes one of us. I am contractually obligated to never root for the Eagles as a Commanderos fan. But one thing, you mentioned the Eagles, they have already lost their offensive and defensive coordinators to coaching jobs. And you mentioned, I thought it was really funny that Arizona went for Gannon after watching him give up 40 points on their home field in the Super Bowl. I thought that was an interesting choice, especially after you mentioned like the same two plays worked on the on two touchdowns. It felt like there was a little bit of a lack of adjustment there. And if you looked at the coaching in this game, it was pretty clear who had the advantage. Like, not to say that the Eagles didn't have a good game plan, and they almost won the game, obviously. But we'll get to Eric Bieniemy in a second. But the two coaches for the Eagles get hired and get new jobs, maybe deservedly. Eric Bieniemy once again on the sidelines. Why don't we start with, I guess, the Eagles coordinators? So Steichen goes to the Colts. The Colts go with another offensive coordinator from Philly after their great experience with Frank Reich. What did you think of those two hires?
So Shane Steichen is the Eagles offensive coordinator who went to Indianapolis. He was Justin Herbert's OC or quarterback coach in his rookie season in Los Angeles and did well. But obviously, he's done well in Philadelphia. I like that hire. Now, they don't have a quarterback. So I figure out quarterback, right? Like, from a talent development standpoint, he has done a good job where he's been at quarterback. Again, they don't have a quarterback, though, right? Like, I know Jim Irsay is like, well, we're going to get that Bryce Young fella. He looks pretty good. Okay, great. But we're seeing with, you know, how important ownership is, right? Clark Hunt, Jeffrey Lurie, like the importance of ownership and success. Unfortunately, your Commanders, right, with Dan Snyder, like Jim Irsay is kind of a dumpster fire. Like, it might not matter whether or not Shane Steichen can coach. Are they getting the quarterback? Like, are they getting that correct? Are they getting the support, the correct support from Jim Irsay that he needs to win there? I have more high hopes for him. The Gannon thing in Arizona is interesting. So supposedly he's like a taskmaster. He's like a grinder, right? Like, and the opposite of Kingsbury, which is often what you hire. You often hire the opposite of what of the coach you just had. But that Arizona job is a terrible job, Matt. It's an absolutely terrible job. And he's not going to do well there. It's not because he's not a good coach or he can't do well.
Yeah.
No one's going to do well there. You have a quarterback who clearly people do not value. Like, how many people have to take shots at Kyler Murray before people are like, yep, I might not be the guy? He's not playing till November with his injury, at least, right? New general manager who's trying to get rid of your best player in DeAndre Hopkins. No one wanted that job. Someone had to take it, obviously. And if you're, you know, if you're Gannon, you're like, okay, well, it's a coordinator job. Let's do it. I mean, a head coaching job, I'll take it. But no one wanted that job. So I have less hopes for Gannon than I do for Steichen. Obviously, Frank Reich has hired a good staff in Carolina. Everyone's kind of rounding out, you know, their staffs as that we head into. I like the Todd Monken hire for the Ravens as far as offensive coordinator. I thought that's a really good, if you look at what Georgia did offensively this past couple of years, it's a very pro-style offense. It's kind of, you know, it's not like an air raid offense. It's not a Greg Roman offense. Somewhere in the middle, right? We're going to run the football with Todd Monken, but you're going to have a pro-style offense really help out Lamar Jackson, attract those free agents, I think, back to playing in Baltimore at wide receiver and tight end. We know they have Mark Andrews there. So, you know, I think the hires are kind of what they are. Eagles obviously now have to hire two coordinators as well. The Eric Bieniemy thing, man, he's interviewing with your Commanders today for the OC job. We've talked about this for a while now, right? Now, there is certainly a problem in the NFL with minority candidates, right? If you don't acknowledge that, you're not paying attention or you're willfully ignorant, right? I just don't think that's the case with Eric Bieniemy. That can't be the only reason why he's not hired, right? Like, there has to be something else for the reason he's not hired. I can't imagine the only reason he's not hired is because he's minority. And maybe I'm being ultra naive, and someone please call me out on this if I am. Maybe it's a factor. I'm certainly not dismissing it as a factor, but the factor, I don't know, man. I don't know why, because yeah, he doesn't call the plays all the time. Yeah. So what? Plenty of coaches get hired who don't call the plays. I don't know what it is about the way he interviews, he carries himself, his past. I mean, there, you can go back and Google some things that happened when he's at Colorado. That's like 30 years ago now. I don't know, man. Do you think it's a minority hiring problem? I don't think it's. I think we're past that with Eric Bieniemy now. I don't know what it is.
All I know is, you know, what I read and the little I hear. Like it's hard to say. I mean, I'm looking at it from a Commanders fan perspective. It's like, you know, Baltimore. You mentioned Monken. Baltimore was considering him too. Bieniemy. There were he went from, well, it almost didn't. We didn't even have the like debate of why isn't he a head coach this offseason, because it just moved so fast and it never really gained steam like it does most years. Then
he never even got it. He never even got an interview for head coach. Like, you know, I've been on this for years. And not like, again, I'm not a dummy. The minority hiring cycle in the candidate, it's terrible, right? Not enough minorities get hired. But this feels beyond that. Like, this feels like something else behind the scenes is going on here that we don't know about, that no one's willing to talk about why he can't get a job. And I feel like he has to leave Kansas City to get that recognition. Right. But again, why does that matter?
I don't know.
Why does it matter? Nathaniel Hackett didn't call plays in Green Bay and got a job.
Exactly. He had like the most embarrassing season that anyone had, and he gets picked up, you know, before the conference championship rounds because he maybe has a tie to Rodgers. I don't know. But with Bieniemy, it's like he's not even getting – not only is he not getting head coaching interviews, he's getting offensive coordinator lateral moves with way worse teams. And people – like, why on earth would he even consider going to Washington? Like, they have no quarterback. They're going to change ownership. They're probably going to change coaching just because, like, of course, that's what owners are going to do unless Rivera has, like, a great season. It's like, what's even the upside? Like, how could he possibly improve his standing into next year? I don't want him to do it for him. Like, you know, it'd be great, obviously, for this stupid franchise to get someone like him in the building. But I just can't imagine why he would want to do it.
I mean, I guess the idea is, you know, if he does this without Andy Reid, he'll get a head coaching job.
He just won another Super Bowl. Like, he,
I know.
The thing that really stuck with me about him was, I don't know if you saw this clip, but of Isaiah Pacheco after the game, like going up to him and giving him this like huge bear hug, and it clearly being like, you know, we all just think, oh, it's a running back. You can find a running back in the draft, whatever, no big deal. There was a seventh round pick who was the best running back on the field, on a field with some real household names, you know? So I don't know, man. It feels really weird, like, watching this cycle go again. And, you know, you mentioned Gannon, and it's like, even Steichen, who I'm sure is a good coach, like, I'm sure these guys are good coaches, but it's just, it feels strange. And frankly, like, watching Jim Caldwell go for an offensive coordinator job with Frank Reich.
I know, he should be head coach too.
It's like, this guy, he's been successful everywhere. He's definitely, like, it doesn't seem like he's like the biggest personality in the room, which I think does matter for a head coach. Like, someone like Nick Sirianni clearly, like, doesn't know isn't as experienced, let's just say, as Caldwell. But he has a real, like, that's a guy who feels like he probably deserves to be a head coach just based on, like, how he carries himself and obviously his success this year. But I felt it was really weird. Like, yeah, it's great that Caldwell's back in the league and, you know, that Frank Reich hired him, but it just feels strange to me again that, I don't know that those two are similar, but I don't know. It's just something worth noting.
Yeah. It's something worth noting is that he should have a job. Like, it's baffling, dude. I don't get it.
It really is.
Makes sense to me.
It really is. And it's every year you sort of tell yourself, like, well, this has to have gotten better since last year. And then here we are. And
it hasn't.
You know, the idea, like, honestly, think about this. You go from winning the Super Bowl with turning this quarterback into, you know, this offense into the most unstoppable offense we've maybe ever seen. And then he's going to leave to go be Sam Howell's offensive coordinator because possibly Ron Rivera could get fired and he could get the head coaching job that way. Like, that's what Eric Bieniemy's options are. That feels crazy.
Well, I don't think he's getting a head coaching job in Washington if Ron Rivera gets fired. I think that he would just do well in Washington and get a head coaching job.
Maybe Sam Howell's good. I mean, they have good receivers, obviously, but I have no idea why that would be the move for him. It's very strange.
I don't know either. I really don't.
Well, I hope they hire him as a fan, but as a person, I hope that somehow he stays in Kansas City, honestly. One thing on Monken, do you think he's going to be able to adjust to coaching a younger quarterback in Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, you mean young? Oh, you mean younger than Stetson Bennett? I was talking about, he just coached college kids. You're right. Stetson Bennett's older than Lamar Jackson, right?
They're close.
They're close.
The joke hit.
Good job, Matt. You were saving that one up, weren't you? You were saving it.
Yeah. Well, we turned right to the serious topic, and I was like, I got to make sure that makes the show.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, you know, that was a really good joke, Jeff, but you know who's not going to hear it? Is Aaron Rodgers. Because Aaron Rodgers began his silent retreat today, Wednesday. Maybe he's allowed to play podcasts in there. Who knows? Today's Wednesday as we're recording this. So he is now into the depths of whatever sort of mental Narnia he needs to go to make his quote unquote decision of where the team that owns his rights will trade him. Seems a little backwards to me. And Derek Carr was released finally with a hilarious move where he basically said, "Hey, Raiders, you're not trading me. You're not getting a pick for me. Let me go." Love that move. I guess take it wherever you want. I mean, any predictions for quarterback? I mean, everybody's making this Jets-Rodgers argument. Feels a little bit too easy to me. But any sort of just general predictions for Rodgers or Carr or anybody else?
Yeah. Who cares about Rodgers? Like, I mean, are we still doing this? Like, just wants attention. First of all, it was a darkness retreat. Now it's a darkness retreat that also, oh, actually, there's actual light in there if you want. And then it's like, well, actually, they're going to feed you. There's a camera in there to make sure that you don't go crazy. Like, why do
so
we
have to... He's going to an Airbnb.
He's going to like a hotel room that actually just has curtains. That you can just like close. Like, I just... You know what?
He's going to the Ritz, you know, Santa Barbara.
Yeah. You know what? Like, and I am all for everyone's personal journey. Whatever makes you happy. You know, like, you meditate, correct?
I do.
Because the reason why I know this is because you post sometimes your... What's the app called?
Headspace. Once a year, when I do another year, I post it.
But I always think it's like your run streak. It says like your streak, right? Doesn't it say that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But there's no way I'm running 2,500 days in a row. Right.
But like 3 years ago, I thought to myself, oh man, Matt's been running a lot. And then I realized you were meditating. Because I texted you. It's like, good job on the running streak, buddy. And you're like, no. It's my meditation streak. So like, great, man. Like, good for you. Good. Anyone who wants to meditate and like, awesome. I absolutely love it. How many days in a row have you gone, Matt? Do you know how many?
It's like 4 years, 5 years.
Okay,
something like that.
Good for you, man. I'm sure it's good for you. You look good. You feel good. I love it. Okay, fantastic. Did
Thanks,
it start
buddy.
after we spent a night in Spain? You're like, I got to get this Schwartz guy and his wife. I got to start meditating.
No, I think I was doing it already. But anyway, keep going. Thanks for all the nice things.
The suckling pig.
You also look great.
The suckling pig got you in the mood to meditate. Like anyone, do what you want, guys. I don't care. Sleep with whoever you want. Be whoever you want. Dress however you want. But like Rodgers, who gives a shit, man? Like, why do we have to know this stuff? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't care. Am I supposed to care, Matt? Am I supposed to care?
No, I'm tired of him too. But
like, good luck on your journey, man. I wish you the best. I hope that when you come out of it, it makes you feel better and you feel better about life. I just don't care. I don't care. And in a football sense, when we talk about this all the time, like football people are intense, right? And they definitely need to meditate too. They're intense,
man.
For
sure.
They don't want to hear about their quarterback going to a 4-day quiet retreat. Like the Packers don't want to hear this either. The Jets don't want to either. The Raiders don't. Like they just, can you play football or not? Right? Are you going to be here if we trade for you for 3 years or 1 year? Are you going to do the same thing next offseason? Call me when Rodgers goes somewhere. I just don't care, Matt.
Well, that's what I want to talk about because we don't have to spend much time on this because you're right. It's going to keep coming up. But I think everyone's saying he's going to go to the Jets. If he has any say in it, I'm not sure that is the exact right place for him. I know that his buddy Nat Hackett is there. I know that they have great receivers. I know that they have a pretty promising defense. But to me, it just doesn't feel like he's going to follow Favre, that he's going to go there and work with like a bunch of young receivers that he doesn't, you know, that he's going to have to sort of build up and coach. But it doesn't seem like he's going to the NFC either. I mean, San Francisco would be like the team, of course. I thought about this morning, Jeff. How about Tennessee for Rodgers? I feel like Tennessee is one of those that's kind of off the map in terms of contenders. But I think him and Vrabel would be an interesting match. I think that they could figure out a few things at the receiver position. Their line generally has been good. Their defense is good. They're solid every single year. I don't know. That dawned on me this morning and I wanted to run it by you.
Yeah. I think Tennessee could be a place for him. Here's the thing, right? Like, okay, so Derek Carr got released, obviously. Good for him, right? He forced the Raiders' hand. He's not gonna get them any assets to trade, but okay. If you are deciding between Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers, and obviously Aaron Rodgers is a better football player, but Derek Carr plays it each week. You never have to, no fuss. He'll play 6 to 8 more years. Don't have to worry about him. Are you signing up for that? Or are you signing up for Rodgers 1 to maybe 3 years plus trading for assets?
Yep.
Plus every offseason, is he going to retire or not? Is he get along with teammates? Is he going to coach your young wide receivers up? And by the way, the teammate thing, look, all his teammates seem to like him outside of like the two in the media that seem to bash him all the time. So like that's a little unfair, I think, to him at times. Because like if you listen to like the guys in the locker room, they seem to like him outside of the two in the media who keep bashing him. So maybe that's a little unfair to throw at Rodgers. But, you know, he doesn't seem to connect with the young wide receivers very well, not like a Tom Brady does, right? Or any other older quarterback. So are you signing up for that? Or do you want the stability of a Derek Carr?
I think, honestly, like it depends on the team. And I don't think the Jets should introduce that into their locker room, then make themselves the Super Bowl front runners. Like, it just doesn't feel like they're quite there yet. Someone like Carr there would be interesting because he could, like you mentioned, like he would just be stable. He'd be, you know, I don't know how he'd do in New York. I don't know how he'd do in cold weather where he's notoriously been bad. But I just don't feel like adding Rodgers to that mix, where if you added him to a veteran team like Tennessee, San Francisco, honestly, if they had to overpay by like a few years of draft picks, they should just do it. Like they're the team that the thing that has held them back has been quarterback play. If you could just put Rodgers into that mix in a situation where like that team is that team, you know, like they, I just don't see them going back to the Trey Lance, Brock Purdy situation next year if there are these options out there. But I don't think like a car would make them that much better. But I just feel like there's some way that he's just going to end up on the 49ers, or at least they're going to be in the mix because it just makes too much sense for them.
Yeah. What about Derek Carr of the 49ers?
I mean, how much better is he than Purdy? Like, I don't know.
That's
maybe. I mean, it could be the Stafford thing where it's like, you know, you just put him with a better coach and all of a sudden he's awesome.
Yeah.
The Derek Carr thing is he's really interesting. I almost feel like after watching the Kirk Cousins experience across the league, like everyone has the same opinion of the Vikings, which is very good team. They are capped at their quarterback. Their quarterback can get them to like round two of the playoffs, and that's where it stops. And I feel like people are so afraid of spending $30, $40 million on their cap to just have that when they can like take their chances with a younger quarterback or a higher variance quarterback, you know. I don't really know. Like a Carr might be like the Saints, oddly, were like kind of a good fit for him because they just kind of like they just need like the commander, somebody like that would just like be, you know, they just need like a floor.
Yeah, I think one dark horse, by the way, for Carr is Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, Carr is very religious, and so is Frank Reich, the coach of the Panthers now. And that tends to kind of form bonds between players and coaches. And I'm not saying it's a bond that wasn't successful for Frank Reich and Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, but you know, that's something that shouldn't be overlooked. I feel like that's a situation where that, you know, is a place where Carr could end up because of that relationship.
Interesting. Huh. I will say, too, one of the reasons I like the Titans-Rodgers thing, Jeff, was the Titans are plus 7,500 for next year's Super Bowl. They're one of the lowest, one of the longest odds. They have worse odds than the Commanders and the Seahawks and the Bucks, who currently have no offensive coordinator or quarterback. So interesting, the Titans aren't getting any love, but...
Matthew, do you think we're doing our prop bets in a second here?
Yeah, let's do that.
But like, if you bet on anyone other than the Chiefs heading to next season in the AFC, I don't know what to tell you. Like, why would you bet on the Titans?
No, you shouldn't. You should not bet this next year's Super Bowl right now. is generally good advice.
The number for the Chiefs is better now than it would be later on.
We just like we're so arrogant as people. We're like, well, next year I can get good value by right now betting on so-and-so. Like anything could happen right now. Don't bet on anybody.
I know.
You know, there are some. If I had to make some bets right now, like, you know, Cincy plus 1,000 is interesting. I don't know. There's some teams that just the odds are.
Cincy's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
I don't think we made any money this year, man.
Well, why don't we go through it? Let's talk about our props. We've mentioned throughout the season, we made these prop bets at the beginning of the season. There were some brilliant calls. There were some dreadful calls, but we can go through it. I think, you know, we've tabulated it up here, I believe. And are we in the green or in the red?
Last year we were up by what, like $5,000-$6,000, right?
Yeah. I mean, we had some brilliant calls. We've gone through a few of them on here, but Mahomes MVP was a huge one. 9-1 on that one. Great call by you. It's crazy.
Our worst ones were like all our Giants, anti-Giants wagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those crushed us. Mahomes MVP was pretty good. We kind of got lucky on some of them. Like we had Tyreek Hill under touchdowns. He had like four in the first 2 weeks, but ended up hitting anyways. So I'm calculating up now all the...
I wanted to note, this is a great find by producer Hank. We had Zeke over 875.5 yards, and he finished with 876. We got that one by half a yard, Jeff.
The worst one of all was the Damian Pierce one.
Yeah, so Damian Pierce, we bet on any Houston running back over 1,000 yards. Damian Pierce finished with 939. And he left, I mean, it was like week 12 or week 13 where he got injured. And that was a brutal beat.
It looks like we are short this year, $345.39.
Okay. That's not too bad. I mean, honestly, if you took out our in-season stuff where we went over five, our preseason was really good.
If we took out the $500, the $600 we spent during the season, we would be slightly in the green, correct? Like by $200. Yes.
There were a few things that I want to take away from this. What we did was we did a couple of basically, I want to find a good example of it.
I have takeaways for next year.
Well, I'll start, but then you should fill in. Like the Ravens, we bet the Ravens to win both the division and win the top seed. The odds were different. To win the division was plus 140. For the top seed was plus 750. I feel like we should have just bet the – we should just pick one of them and not double down, because when you get screwed – When you're wrong, you get killed. There are a few teams that we always seem to have like a good read on. And then there are some teams that we always seem to have a bad read on. The Giants, I feel like we never have a good read on. I do feel like we have a good Steelers read. You know, we bet them over. We bet Najee Harris under. We sprinkled on Watt and Pickett. And Watt was the second defensive player of the year, probably. And Pickett was a good bet for rookie of the year. But hit me with your takeaways.
My takeaway is unders is always the way to go.
Yes.
I think next year, if we bet every running back under, like every starting running back, penciled in starter in week one, they're under rushing total for the year, we would win money. Like, we would hit 65% of those.
It's funny, man, because like every under we bet, I think on running backs, we hit every over and miss every under.
Except Dalvin Cook.
Well, we missed on Saquon under touchdowns and Sanders under touchdowns.
We hit Harris under rushing yards. I just feel like the unders, man, are just the way to go.
I agree, but we missed. We just like missed on all of them. Like, we ended up missing. How did Dalvin Cook end up with almost 1,200 yards? I feel like he didn't even have like a 100-yard game.
We also hit a ton of quarterback unders. Wilson under Stafford, Trey Lance, Kyler Murray. We just hit a ton. Unders, man, are the way to go.
I do think also one good takeaway is when we know, like, we got to go all in. Like, the Amon-Ra bet was the one where I sold it to you. You were like, done. And we put four units on it, or two units. I forget if we were standard 100 or 200.
It ended up being two. I think 200 was like our standard. Yeah, we put 400 on it.
And we just went all in on it. And it's like, sometimes you just got to lay the wood when you've got the feeling. You know what I mean? And like, that was one that carried us. That was a minus 112 for 400. That was a substantial win. We also got lucky on a few. I mentioned the Zeke one, but yeah. the Bears' worst record plus 750 on the last like play of the season was great.
Gabe Davis under 7.5 touchdowns too. Both that Hill and Gabe Davis were lucky as well. Yeah, like, this is a fun exercise each year, man.
Yeah,
so much fun to do this each year.
I can't wait already.
Who's your MVP leaner for next year?
Oh, man.
It's not Mahomes. I don't think about Mahomes.
I think Jalen Hurts is a good bet. Like, I think he's going to have the Josh Allen momentum this offseason. Like, Josh Allen last year.
Yeah, but he's going to lose his coordinator and maybe two offensive linemen.
Maybe. But I also think that the conversation this offseason, I promise, as a guy who's going to have to make a million of these myself and put propaganda out there into the sports media world, is like, who would you rather have, Burrow or Hurts? Or Allen or Hurts, and there's going to be like a big Jalen Hurts boost. I think Burrow is a good bet, obviously. Mahomes, like, they could do the Mahomes, you know, dominance thing where he would win another.
I don't think Mahomes will get it next year, because I feel like it's like the LeBron thing now, where it's going to be like anyone but Mahomes. Like, they're going to find every reason not give it to Mahomes.
I do think it's possible, though, Jeff, that couldn't you see Kansas City kind of reloading this year a little bit? Like, I felt like this year, obviously they had so many young players. I do wonder if they go and grab, like, if they do strength on strength and they go say, okay, Kelsey's getting a little older. We're going to need somebody to come in here, sign a free agent, get Davante Adams somehow,
Well, I think they can luxury pick a tight end at the end of the first round, and this is a great year for tight ends.
Yeah, like something like that. I could see them doing something to add strength on strength to give Kelsey a little bit of a breather.
It's certainly possible. God, they weren't even supposed to be in this game this year with all the rookies they have playing.
I know. All right, buddy. I think we did it. I do want to tell you, though, last night for Valentine's Day, hope you and Meredith have a great Valentine's Day. I spent mine at the Magic Castle with Gabe and his wife and Ivy and our friend Garrett and his girlfriend. And we had a really good time. if I could just tell you one thing,
please.
Gabe Goodwin loves Magic. Loves Magic. He is the biggest Magic fan I've ever seen.
That does not surprise me very much. Did you know that?
I mean, I have known that for a while. We've had shows. I think I've been on two shows with him where a magician has come on the show. For his birthday, a magician came to his house and performed, and he was unbelievable. He was a mentalist, so he was like putting stuff in people's minds, and they were it was insane. But Magic Castle, we all got dressed up. It was really fun.
How long have you been with Ivy for?
We've been married going on 5 years and together for going on 10.
Okay. I've been with Meredith for, too long. I think it's like 15 years maybe this summer.
Wow.
15 years, something nice. Like that. Like Valentine's Day, like at some point, like did you get your wife a gift?
No. We did cards and then we went to the Magic Castle with my friends.
I got my wife a pair of, she likes sneakers. I got her a pair of these peaches and cream dunks that she wanted.
Nice.
So
Meredith's the best.
That's it. Damashek, our buddy Damashek, he makes this point about like, when is Valentine's Day going to be about us? Guys. I'm like, it's never.
Never, buddy. It's never.
Never about us. It's okay though. I'm fine with it. And my daughter gave me a giant hug yesterday and said, Happy Valentine's Day. It made my day.
Love that.
That was the cutest part of my day. Little Emmy, she was fantastic. All right, guys. Have a great weekend, everyone. Please leave a review. If you listen for 41 minutes and you're not my parents, you should leave a review, please, okay? So please do that. We always love seeing those. We'll be back next week with more football discussion. We head into free agency very soon. Free agency is very soon, guys. It's coming up very soon. Draft talk and more. We'll do that next week. Until then, guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy some XFL this weekend. I won't be watching, but maybe you guys will. Talk to you guys next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.